You're just a civilian now.
Mr. James Ford. General Ryle's requesting your inimitable counsel. No. He's offered to reinstate you.
From the top.
4 hours ago, the crew of the Vander made first contact.
Stay there.
They believe we're hostile.
In the event of first contact, humanity must strike first. To ensure the continued survival of our species.
Operation Cosmic Sin is now a go.
That there is a space gate. They can bring their army here.
What's the status of the Q-bomb?
If we want to launch the Q-bomb, we need to get into orbit.
Suits up.
That's something, huh? We didn't know whether to burn it or put it in a museum.
I'm sure they said the same thing about me.
If we leave that door open, we're gonna charge in. We can make this the kill box.
We're not gonna wait for them to bring the fight to us. We're gonna take it to them.
What we do here is easy. The hard part is living with it.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt, and today we're going to talk about movie called Cosmic Sin. It's a film on Netflix, so that means you can use your stolen little password and watch it for free. But I'm gonna tell you right now, don't do it. It might be the worst movie I've ever seen in my whole life. Sorry, Bruce Willis, this one's a real turd. But we're going to talk about the symbolism of alchemy, the symbolism of the global consciousness, the Great Reset. It's all in this terrible movie. Perennial philosophy, all these big words and big things and big ideas, because that's what it's all about. It's all about the alien agenda, ushering in the new spirituality, the new global order of things. Now, there's going to be, of course, plot spoilers. Not that it matters. Doesn't matter. Let's start out with my personal take on things. Should you watch this film? Absolutely not. Like Borat. It's a great movie. Not. It's terrible. It was so awful. I had to look up the ratings to see if I was tripping. Am I being too harsh? IMDb gave it 2.5 out of 10. So there you go. Decide if that's... I mean, I guess like if they would have advertised it as like a B-movie, you know, like a crappy sci-fi B-movie, then maybe that would have been all right. But I saw Bruce Willis and I thought, well, surely this is a great movie. How can it not be a great movie with Bruce Willis in there? But hey, you know what? 2.5 out of 10, that means 2.5 people liked it out of 10. So maybe you'd love it. The length of the film was perfect, 1 hour and 28 minutes. Thank you very much for knowing when to stop. The plot, officially the plot goes a little something like this. 7 rogue soldiers launch a preemptive strike against a newly discovered alien civilization in the hopes of ending an interstellar war before it starts. Sounds good to me. I mean, the title of the film sounds pretty badass. Cosmic Sin? Hell yeah. Spirituality, aliens, Bruce Willis fighting people and aliens. Of course, I'm down for all that. Okay, let's see. I'm going to read you more plot in case you're not reeled in by the plot yet. In the year 2524, 4 centuries after humans started colonizing the outer planets, retired General James Ford, that's Bruce Willis, with the real American hard-on name, James Ford, can-do attitude, Henry Ford. He gets called back into service after a hostile alien fleet attacks soldiers on a remote planet. The threat against mankind soon escalates into an interstellar war as Ford and a team of elite soldiers try to stop the imminent attack before it's too late. I like to get into the gutty works of the film. The director, his name was Edward Drake. It's kind of a nobody, right? Did a couple B movies before this, which I'd argue that's what this movie is. They just put a little sneak attack on you, though. I didn't see it coming. If I would have seen it coming, I probably wouldn't have been so harsh. Because it stars Bruce Willis. A legend. A legend in the action hero type films, the action movies. I mean, he'd still lose in a fight with Tom Cruise, okay? But he'd probably beat Leo up. But if we're trying to, like, put him on the hierarchy of actors, like, you know, he's up there. He's good. I mean, some of my favorite films he was in, of course, Pulp Fiction. 12 Monkeys, which I did a whole show on, which 12 Monkeys is, you know, maybe closer to reality than fiction at this point in our journey with the thing that will never go away. You know what I'm saying. We did a whole show on The Thing That Won't Go Away on breaking social norms. I don't know if you listened to that show where me and my wife, Josie Weishaupt, the non-truther normie sheeple perspective, and we talked about this whole thing. And you know what? We have a lot more in common than we don't, which I'd argue is what's happening with the whole population in general. So go check that out. If you haven't listened to Breaking Social Norms, it's on the little podcast app on Apple or Spotify or whatever. Also, it's got its own Patreon, and it's on my Rockfin channel, so check it out. Bruce Willis. Let's keep blowing Bruce Willis. The Last Boy Scout was a classic from the 90s. Fifth Element. Armageddon. Which, hey, you know what? You know what? I know you're rolling your eyes that I like Armageddon, but I'm sorry, I do. It was great. I had a little bit of a emotional heartstring pull, which I'm into that. I'm down for the romance type stuff. Shoot, I watch more romance movies than I do action movies. Because I'm a limp-wristed liberal cuck. Me and Josie just watched, we're watching the After trilogy. That's how stupid I am. It's like some teeny bopper love story. But I like love stories. You know what? Who doesn't love love? Push that toxic masculinity aside and pick up your skirt. It's all right. And Armageddon had an element of that, and I liked it, okay? I'm sorry. The Sixth Sense, a classic film. Surrogates. Have you seen Surrogates? That one went under the radar. Great movie. I discussed this in my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory. It shows you reality of what's going to be happening in the next 10 years. So there's that. Worth a watch for that. And then, of course, Die Hard. How can you forget? How can you not think Die Hard was great? If you're an old turd like me and you lived through the 80s and 90s, Die Hard was pretty consistent. I've seen the first three. I didn't see the newest one. I don't watch action movies much anymore. But the first three were classics, all of them. Knocked it out of the park every single time. He was a singer. He sang, I'm talking about like he's dead. I don't know if he sings anymore, but he had that sing, back in the 80s, okay? Here's for you young folks that don't know. Back in the 80s, there was this thing where the celebrities, they would cut loose, and sometimes they would have songs. And Bruce Willis did it. He did a song called Respect Yourself with the Pointer Sisters. Doesn't get much more 80s than that. Some other great, Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time, one of the greatest songs of all time. You know, and these are just actors singing, having a good time. They didn't take themselves quite as serious as they do nowadays. Now, fun Illuminate confirmed fact, Bruce Willis apparently worked for Seagram, like Seagram's, like the gin or whatever, the booze. He was a pitch man for Seagram for a while, and he eventually quit because he stopped drinking. Now, Seagram, that plays a role into the Illuminate because of, if you read my hip-hop conspiracy book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, we talked about Death Row Records and how they were basically funded through the Seagram family. And it has all these wacky ties with Tupac and Suge Knight. No, dear. It's a whole thing. And Seagram, of course, part of the Bronfman ordeal with Nexium. And it goes on and on and on. Now, what's not in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic? Obviously, I didn't talk about the Bronfmans because I didn't know they were going to be part of a crazy Costco sex trafficking scandal. But Claire Bronfman, she was a leader in Nexium, right? And her brother, Edgar Bronfman, was the guy who was running Seagram back when they bought Interscope. And, you know, the conspiracies go wild from there, okay? We're not here to talk about all that. I mean, that's a pretty loose connection to begin with, right? Bruce Willis was a pitch man for it. Now he's a gangster rapper. I don't know. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there's not. He, of course, used to be married to Demi Moore. And Demi Moore is, you know, there's all this weird stuff with, like, Ashton Kutcher. So Bruce Willis and Demi Moore were a thing. They split up. Ashton Kutcher moved in with Demi Moore. Now Ashton Kutcher is with Mila Kunis. And they say they only wash kids when they're visibly dirty. I don't know what's going on in Hollywood. They're very strange people. Now Dax Shepard and what's his old lady's name? Kristen Bell. They come out and said they only wash their kids when they start smelling bad. There was another celebrity that just was talking about how they don't bathe. And it's like Bizarroville, right? Jake Gyllenhaal, that's the other guy. I couldn't think of it. That's the other guy that like doesn't shower every day. Bizarro, right? I don't know. They're strange folks. But to bring it back into the more of the... Why are we talking about celebrity showering? Oh, yeah, because Demi Moore. Yeah. Okay. To get it back to the... And by the way, Jake Gyllenhaal, that reminds me to tell you, go ahead and watch Donnie Darko. I will be doing a film analysis of that sometime this year. Maybe sooner than later. I don't know. I'm kind of busy. But yeah, Donnie Darko will hit that. Because I haven't watched that since I've been full Red Pill. I remember watching it several times pre-Red Pill days, and I really enjoyed it, and it was really strange. It's got Patrick Swayze in it, doing the stuff with the kids. That is character, right? Interesting story, but I'm going to watch that again, give it another take. So stay tuned for that. But to bring it back to more of the celebrities, they're just like us. In January 2021... Bruce Willis was asked to leave a Los Angeles Rite Aid for not wearing a mask to protect against COVID during the pandemic. Willis later said it was an error in judgment and that people should be safe out there, everyone. Oh, no, sorry, I misread that. Quote, be safe out there, everyone, and let's continue to mask up. Yeah, effing right. Come on, Bruce Willis. He knows who butters his bread. And regardless of what you think about the mask, because we've talked about this many times, I can get behind either viewpoint. I just want everyone to love everyone, you know what I mean? But anyway, come on. You can tell he clearly was on a PR campaign there. Anyway, a little bit more on Bruce Willis, and then we're going to move into the movie. There's not a lot to talk about for the movie, to be honest. But we're going to find some stuff to talk about. His religious views, I found curious. He was a Lutheran at some point. But in 1998, with George Magazine, he said, quote, organized religions in general, in my opinion, are dying forms. They were all very important when we didn't know why the sun moved, why weather changed, why hurricanes occurred, or volcanoes happened. Modern religion is the end trail of modern mythology.
But there are people who interpret the Bible literally. Literally. I choose not to believe that's the way, and that's what makes America cool, you know? Now, I don't want to sound like a... Because I get it, like, some parts of the Bible you think, well, there's no way that was real. Like, Noah didn't build a big-ass boat and put two of every animal on there, did he? Maybe. I don't know. I think there's a good term for it. I can't think of it right now, but there's a term for... the Bible has a blend of sort of metaphor, analogy, and truth, right? But what I get out of that is he's talking very much like technocrat style right there, right? Like, science is the real religion, the real truth. The objective truth is science, which fits into this movie very perfectly. As we'll discuss. Some other actors in the film worth mentioning. Frank Grillo. This is a guy who's been in the Purge films. He's been in a bunch of Marvel movies. Minority Report with the great Tom Cruise. He was on... There's a show on Netflix called Kingdom. It's like a corny MMA show with Nick Jonas. It's kind of like... what's that motorcycle movie? Sons of Anarchy. Real corny. But still fun, right? I enjoyed that show. Kind of like Sons of Anarchy for MMA nerds. Got Nick Jonas in there beating people up. He was also in Silk Stockings, if you're an old person like me and you remember. I think it was USA Network had Silk Stockings. It was like light softcore porn on the TV show. It's also another actor in the movie, CJ Perry, some wrestler chick, if you're into wrestling. And shout out Rusty Shacklesford. There's a million Rusty Shacklesfords that follow me. I don't know why that's the name everyone chooses. I must miss that somehow. I think it's a character from King of the Hill. I don't get why so many people name themselves after it. I think it's like a... Must be some inside joke I don't get. But Rusty brought to my attention. I very embarrassed. I had a typo in my first Alien book. Use Your Illusion 1. I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to say it. The wrestling thing, right? I had a foreword talking about WWF, World Wrestling Federation, and I wrote Foundation. The hell was I thinking? So embarrassing. I actually already fixed it. Resubmitted the proof of the book. So if you already bought a copy, you've got the first revision with the typo. If it was an action figure, it'd be worth more money, okay? When you get the mistake on there. I'm an idiot. That's what happens when you write, edit, and proofread your own books. Yep. So there you go. Thank you, Rusty, for correcting me. That's so embarrassing. Let's get into the movie. Plot spoiler time coming. It doesn't matter, though. Don't watch this movie. Just go ahead and keep listening. Like we said earlier, it's the year 2524. And there's some weird planet, a weird mining corporation. Their workers make first contact with an alien species that proves to be hostile. And they use this black fluid to infect humans. And the black fluid allows the aliens to control the people it infects. And it plugs them into this hive mind. And this alien race is called the Sigia. Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just like Prometheus. If you read my second Alien book, Use Your Illusion 2, you read about Prometheus, which has the same idea behind it, this black fluid from the aliens. It's symbolic of alchemy, which alchemy came from the aliens, by the way. The blackening, the first stage of alchemical process, which came from Thoth or Hermes, this pagan god, which the ancient astronaut folks would tell you that's an alien. I'm going to actually discuss that concept a little bit in my Salt Lake City FanX presentation that I'm working on. From now until mid-September, I'm going to be real busy trying to work on this lecture. More details coming when I get a schedule. I don't know when I'm doing it. It's like September 17th or 18th, I believe. I'm going to be at the FanX in Salt Lake City. So if you're near Salt Lake City, come check it out. I'll sign you some books and... talk to you if it's still going on. We'll see what's what the state of affairs is with the thing that will never go away at that point. But we live in Utah here where we're kind of, you know, cool about whatever. As long as it's not against the book of Joseph Smith, we're good with it. Okay, so the black fluid we talked about. Okay, yeah. So again, another alien theme of the alchemy and the black liquid and the goo and the alchemy and all that stuff, right? And we're going to come back to that a little bit later. But this whole process triggers a sequence, right? This mining corporation, this alien makes contact. It's very hostile. And next thing you know, here come the military and the Pentagon or whoever they are in the future. It's called the Alliance. And it triggers the sequence of the whole action movie shtick of, hey, let's recall the badass military vet Bruce Willis to come save the day. He's the only one we can trust to get the job done. Because the rest of the military alliance is a bunch of puss bags and they can't handle it like Bruce Willis could. And the guy running the alliance, the military, whatever this is, Frank Grillo, he needs Bruce Willis. He needs him. So he's like, he hears about the alien contact. He's like, get Bruce Willis. You know, and the guy, you know, it's like your standard act. You already know the sequence. Frank Grillo's the general, and he tells the peon, get me Bruce Willis. And, you know, the peon's like, not Bruce Willis. He's the badass. It was like, he got dishonorably discharged because he's so badass. You know, Frank Grillo grabbed him by the shirt. I said, give me Bruce Willis. You know what it is. That's why I hated this movie. It was such garbage. Oozing with toxic masculinity. So they go to the bar, the military peons. They go to the bar, you know, of course, Bruce Willis is at a bar, drowning his sorrows in shots, along with some other discharged vet. You know, the discharged vet's like, hey, Bruce Willis, we got another job. And Bruce Willis is like, oh, I'm so salty. I'm so retired. But these military peons, they show up and they're like, Bruce Willis, we need you. And Bruce Willis is like, no, you guys forced me to retire a long time ago. And then they're like, we'll reinstate you if you do one last job for us. It's of great urgency or whatever. And just like that, boom. They got Bruce Willis and his vet buddy. Now, the Alliance, this is very curious. We learn that the Alliance, this future global military, it was formed in the year 2042. And they used quantum propulsion technology to colonize all these planets, right? So they colonized Earth, Zafdi, Elora. And 500 years later, in 2510... Zafdi succeeded from the Alliance. They were now a rebel group. So Bruce Willis, who was running the show in 2510, drops a quantum bomb on that ass, killing 70 million people. And that's why he got dishonorably discharged. Now, I have so many questions here. So in 2042, they've mastered quantum propulsion technology to colonize planets. That's 20 years away from now. Seems like a pretty big leap, but okay, let's ride with that. Well, 500 years, the technology should have made us all digital consciousness. So, like, it's shocking that we're still in the human form. But hey, you know what? Let's suspend disbelief and quit overthinking it. Now, this Alliance, when you look at the logo, sure enough, we already talked about the alchemy and the alchemical process of the blackening with the black goo and why that's in this movie as well as so many others. Well, the logo of the Alliance, guess what? It's got the Phoenix. Yeah, the Phoenix. And I'll put the photo on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe, look at the show notes as always. The Phoenix is the final stage of the alchemical process. Final stage. Starts with the blackening, the Negredo, and it processes through as the human transforms into the final stage of the fiery red Phoenix. And and the Alliance is like the military, right? We already talked about that. And in the future, apparently all the military folks, they're not all fit to fight, if you know what I'm saying. There, some of them are a little heavy set, including Bruce Willis's buddy at the bar. Bruce Willis is in shape in the movie, but these guys are not. Most of these guys are not. That's okay, though. You know what? Too much McDoofies in the future, I guess. Now, they get to the planet where the aliens... Okay, so Bruce Willis and this crew, they're going to go out to this planet to fight the aliens, the hostile aliens. So they shoot them out there to join a battle that's already in progress. Because you hear about the Alliance has an outpost on this planet. And the outpost is talking about how this alien race is stealing the consciousnesses of the humans. And the aliens have mastered biology. Because guess why? Because they're further evolved than mankind, of course.
Mankind mastered ballistics, and their species mastered biology.
Are you scared? Or impressed?
Both. I wonder if their host's consciousness survived any of the metamorphosis. I mean, a larvae that turns into a butterfly has the same soul.
Just changed. Well, my forced little retirement.
Dishonorable discharge.
It's given me a lot to think about.
I mean, what's there to think about? I mean, when I catch a baseball game, get high.
I didn't think it was all bad.
It wasn't.
So they're talking about the whole thing about sharing consciousness. Now, what's curious about this is if you look at the Project Bluebeam idea, which I covered in great detail in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, User Illusion 1. If you read that, it's all about, and look at Elon Musk's Neuralink. It's the idea of a brain cap, of hijacking the sensors and the senses of the mind to feed it inputs to make it believe things are happening. Or we could talk about augmented reality, virtual reality, all these things. But it's all about hijacking the mind and the consciousness, which is what the aliens have perfected. Now, during this sequence, they're at the outpost. There's a logo for the outpost, and it says, The Alliance, a united vision. And all of this fits into this, you know, the conspiracy world of the Great Reset we've talked about many times on this show. Six episodes deep, I believe we're at right now. This whole global world order stuff, the New World Order. Ronald Reagan talked about how the presence of aliens would unite all of humanity with a common enemy or a common, I don't know, goal, we'll say. Because I don't know how this is going to shape up. Are we going to look at the aliens as hostile, sinister forces that we need to, you know, fight? Or are we going to look at them as the sources of wisdom that we need to channel? And I certainly don't know the answer to that question. But the United Vision tells us there's a global agenda here. And hey, you know, we'll see what happens. And speaking of, Captain America, which show is it? I got a shot here. It's a I don't watch this stuff, but Disney Plus has a series called The Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's Captain America, and this person who remains anonymous sent me a photo from the show where it has the Global Repatriation Council, and it says reset, restore, rebuild. Now, I don't know the context of it, but clearly that's the idea, is that there's this common messaging about this resetting the world, the new normal, and they've kind of been telling us that since 9/11. Things will never be the same, they said. And sure enough, things are not the same. There's also discussion by these Alliance military nerds about tachyons, which I hate to keep referencing my books. I know you hate that, but User Illusion 2, I talked about this movie Prince of Darkness. And in that movie, they talk about the tachyons, these particles that go faster than light, which is all about time travel, because If you can go faster than the speed of light, you can travel through time. You break through the space-time continuum. So in the future, they're fighting these aliens, and they decide they need the Q-bomb. And that's why Bruce Willis is there, because he's the only cold-blooded killer that could do it. They couldn't do it without him. And they even brought along in the Alliance military there this this maintainer for the Q-bomb. She's the only one that knows how to calibrate this Q-bomb. And she has like no tools or anything. It's like she just like holds it in her hand and is like, whoa, it's out of balance. Let me steady it. I mean, this really feels like the worst kind of B-movie. Like, you'll see, if you watch it, they jump through space-time in these suits, and it's like the corniest CGI, the lowest budget CGI you've ever seen. Ugh. My disdain for this film should be palpable, because that's how terrible it was. And it's really trying like hell to pull off that macho superhero vibe. You know what I mean? It's like really unbelievable. Like, you can see right through it. It's like, you know, like the one guy says to the other, if you even think about dying, I'll kill you. You know? Because this guy gets like shot in the neck. And he's dying on a stretcher. But like, he's cool, calm, and composed. Which, like, I'm pretty sure that's not how people die. Anyways, they're fighting the aliens. Finally, we get a look at what these aliens look like, right? We did a whole film analysis of The Tomorrow War on Amazon, which was actually a really great movie, I thought. And the aliens were pretty well done and pretty scary looking. And we get to the aliens, where I thought, okay, maybe this movie can redeem itself. Maybe these aliens are terrifying. And of course, we're disappointed. Of course, it's just people wearing hooded cloaks. That's the aliens. Oh my God. Talk about shit in the bed. It's people wearing hooded cloaks, so you can't really see their face. One of them, you can see its face, and it's got like a mask on, like a Cthulhu kind of looking mask. Oh, it's so terrible. But anyway, we finally get a look at the aliens. Bruce Willis is having a dream. And the aliens point towards a cave. And this all turns out to be a dream hallucination of sorts. But in the movie, he goes into this cave. And of course, you know, the cave symbolic of transformation. So again, that same theme of alchemical transformation. The initiation of Bruce Willis into the cave. And then we hear that the alien, which, hey, you know what? You know where else that happened? Where the idea of transformation in the cave and alchemy, Under the Skin. The film Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson, which is a much better movie. Featured in Use Your Illusion 2. But we hear the aliens and they're discussing about how they are all in this one mind, right? And you even see, and I'll put this photo on the Instagram too, you see the tachyons. And the number they provide is X_333 blood sample, which Tinashe, the singer, she's releasing an album called 333. And all of this, like, numerology and symbolism and gematria, it's tied together, right? Like, 666 is the number of man, 777 is the number of God. Now, the 333 is supposed to symbolize mind, body, and soul. You know, the Holy Trinity is in the threes and all that stuff, right? But here's the thing. We're talking about the occult, right? And I don't know if you're familiar with Green Jello or Green Jelly. It was a band in the early 90s. One of the dudes, I believe it was James Maynard Keenan from Tool, was in that band. Anyhow, they had an album named 333, and they had all, and I remember they always had like sort of devilish sort of things going on about it, and I loved Green Jello. They got sued and had to change their name to Green Jelly, but anyway, the number 333 is believed to be the number of Coronzone as well, which is the sort of demon that guards the abyss in Aleister Crowley's sort of interpretation of the initiate crossing the abyss and shattering the ego and becoming one with the darkness, with becoming what they call a brotherhood of the black. So there you go. It's maybe it's symbolic for these army folks, the alliance crossing the abyss and approaching Coronzone, on the devil, the demons, the aliens. But anyways, there's a clip here where they talk about this one mind, and that plays a role in all of this occult stuff.
This is Dr. Ye- the invaders. They have a way to transfer their essence. They are parasites that use their blood to procreate. They hijack not only the host's body, but their minds. They are one army, one mind.
Now this idea of the one mind, this global consciousness, you'll find this oftentimes in teachings of the New Age or the occult. And there's a lot of people that subscribe to this. Again, no clue. Maybe they're right. Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, who was like your first ancient astronaut guy, who was obsessed with going to outer space, he believed in it, called panpsychism. It was the idea that our aliens were all connected mentally, which is kind of what lays as a foundation for my alien books, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, is that there's a mental component to this. We've heard a lot of people like Jacques Vallée talk about that, Carl Jung, and I think they believe we're connected global consciousness levels, quantum entanglement, all this wacky stuff. And maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but either way, I would argue they're having us focus our energies to channel the energies to summon these things, right? That's my thesis, basically. And you'll see a lot of the occultist, as well as your like globalist types, Aldous Huxley talked about the perennial philosophy, he wrote this whole book on it. And there were warnings from Father Seraphim Rose, that Orthodox monk, whom I referenced on Tinfoil Hat on my 10th appearance with Alex Kazemi, the occult magician guy. We sort of discussed and debated the ideas of magic and summoning entities, which I put in the same league as summoning the aliens. But there's this whole strong history that the occultists want to bring about this global consciousness idea. And Father Seraphim Rose warns this is what they call ecumenicism, where it's like saying it's diluting and watering down the true faith of Christianity, as he describes. And he says, look, Christianity and the way of Christ and orthodoxy is the only way to true salvation. And if they can get the masses to believe, like, look, you know what, Buddha and Christ and Muhammad and all these religions, they all come from the same spiritual source. It's all the same thing. Then you're effectively destroying the one and only true path to salvation, because everything's the path to salvation then, right? I don't know if it's right. I'm just telling you what they say. And that's why a lot of these occultists and stuff and Aldous Huxley have such a hard-on for the perennial philosophy and this idea of a connected global consciousness. I mean, it's very clear once you understand that that's part of the agenda. So back to this dumb movie. So one of the soldiers, he gets shot. And and he's dying, you know, in the most heroic, brave, non-crying way. And Bruce Willis shoots him in the head. He mercy kills him. And Bruce Willis is like, he was going to die anyway. And it was completely unnecessary. Like, who knows? The guy might have lived. Like, give me a shot, Bruce Willis. Damn. Don't shoot me in the head. But he's a crazed killer. That's what they brought him for. Cold-blooded killer. So these aliens, they built this massive space gate that connects two points, which, again, is just like the Tomorrow War. This is like, you know what? Cosmic Sin is like the the Western Family generic version of the Tomorrow War. It's your no-frills version. They've got a space gate too. But Bruce, he reflects on the time spent in the cave where he received the wisdom, the gnosis, from the alien gods. And somehow, he came to the realization that these aliens don't want to kill us. And they show it. He flashes back to the cave experience. And they quickly know that the aliens are just trying to colonize. They're not trying to kill. Which, I don't understand how that played in the whole plot. But that was the knowledge bestowed upon him in the movie. In the cave. Excuse me. So the aliens baptize one of the female soldiers. And it's like this weird dream sequence. And they even baptize her with like three black marks across her forehead, which we saw in The Force Awakening, Star Wars The Force Awakens. And you've got that Trinity idea here. We've got the baptism idea here. It's all perversion of the true path to salvation. And they take over this woman's body. They like as advertised. The black goo turns them into slaves to the alien hive mind. And she starts announcing. She goes on this diatribe, you know, through the aliens are speaking through her now about the alien race and the warriors and how these aliens are going to take over the human race. And, you know, big speech. She gives this big speech about what the aliens do. But I want you to pay attention because she's going to say something very curious about the alchemical process. See if you catch it.
Scorpions. They have to be flattering. They use us as vessels. Parasites.
Deserves more, but what would our kind do? They only want warriors when there's war. And then they call you barbarians when you have sacrificed to protect them. Our culture is war. Our breeding, our prayers. The Stygia are the true apex race. We have ways to make our great legends immortal. I offer you this one chance. Embrace us, or we will become you.
No!
Did you catch it? What she said, she's talking about the alchemical process. Because the aliens are talking about how they're going to make these great legends immortal. Yes. So that's what this film's all about. That's what it's all about. But let's wrap up the film real quick. We'll hit it in conclusion, and then we're going to get back to our day. Frank Grillo, of course, he sacrifices himself in order to kill the aliens and save the humans. Bruce Willis, he doesn't do anything the whole movie. The end. That's it. That's how it ends. Terrible. Bruce Willis didn't break a sweat this whole movie. Frank Grillo had to kill himself to save the aliens. I thought it was going to be Bruce Willis, but nope. Bruce Willis got to phone this in. He's cashing them checks, making that bread. And hey, you know what? I don't hate him for it. Get that bread, Bruce Willis. But yeah, the movie was garbage. It was terrible. And that's how it ends. Boom. But now listen. Let's zoom out. In conclusion, what was this movie about? Do we even care at this point? I care. It's about the alchemical process and the aliens trying to enlighten man, making man become immortal. Now, why would they show it as a hostile takeover? Well, maybe this is a faction of folks that say, hey, we shouldn't do this in some way. Maybe they're warning us. Who knows? But it's all this, you know, the Alliance has the United Vision, the Great Reset stuff. It's the global consciousness stuff with the perennial philosophy, with the hive mind of the aliens, which is where we're headed. And maybe, and hell, maybe that's why the aliens were humans wearing hooded cloaks and stuff. Maybe it's just us in the future. But it's all right there in the Alliance logo with the Phoenix. And we saw it at the beginning of the movie with the black goo. It showed you there was going to be a process of alchemical awakening. So again, I got the images on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe as if you didn't already do that. I know you already did it. Thank you. And yeah, that's Cosmic Sin for you. I hope you enjoyed this. Don't watch the movie. It's terrible. what else do I got for you? I got so many sticks in the fire right now. Sign up for my email newsletter so I can give you more details about this Salt Lake City Fan X lecture. It's my first lecture. I want to see you there if it's not, you know, and look, if you got to travel too far to do it, don't, I'm not saying make plans based on this. I don't know if it's worth all that. But if you're nearby, come through, right? Pull up. And that's going to be September 17th or 18th. I don't know which day I'm doing the lecture, but I'll be selling books out in the little vendor alley thing that they got going. What else do I got going on here? I got a couple interviews lined up. Check out my tinfoil hat appearance, the tenth appearance I made on there with Alex Kazemi. That dropped, what was that, the first week of August. I'm going to do a film analysis on Donnie Darko sometime in the future here. I'm doing a Patreon and VIP section live, Ask Me Anything, August 19th from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, and it's going to be a good time. So yeah, if you're on the Patreon or the VIP, make sure you check your email because I sent information for that out already. And sign up for my email newsletter so you get all the updates for all the things. IlluminatiWatcher.com. And you can get 4 books for $5 while you're there. Check it out for more details. Link in the show notes as always. Until next time, stay woke.